This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, the Big E Sports Show rolls on. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio. The Big E Sports Show. Okay, many different ways to connect with us. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can email the show, info, eRadioSports.com. And, of course, we're powered by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Ready to open up the mic. You know what? It is week 15 of the NFL season. So let's transition. We're always talking college football with Shay Raftus, our producer. But I want to back up a minute. What was your reaction to that finish, the spectacular finish by the Dolphins last week against the Patriots?
It was incredible. And, you know, it was funny because I'm going to be honest, I didn't even see it live. I was kind of watching, I think I was watching the end of the Colts-Texans game, and I see the score flash. Because I see New England kicks the field goal with like 15 seconds and goes up by five on one of the updates. And then I see in the bottom of my screen where that ticker is, Dolphins score a touchdown, the game is over. I'm like, whoa, what happened? And they showed the replay, and it was unbelievable. And you don't see the hook and ladder play like that often, and that was just insane. And I still don't know how it happened.
Well, ultimately, it all played out for the Dolphins. It was an incredible, an epic finish for sure. You know, and speaking of the Patriots, they're going to be looking for a bounce back, and they're going to face the Steelers. They will be the Patriots will be on the road. And really, when you look at Patriots-Steelers, these are two teams, Shay, that are looking to bounce back from just heart-wrenching losses last week and to secure their positions in the AFC playoffs.
Well, the Steelers are really reeling. They've lost three in a row.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
It's not been a good run for them. They really have to win here. Problem is, New England owns them. The Patriots have just been so good against the Steelers, really, in the Mike Tomlin era. And I think at this point, the Steelers could be in some real trouble if they don't win this. And to me, I trust the Patriots to bounce back more than the Steelers, and that's why I like New England here.
Okay, the team and the game that I'm going to be watching, of course, is the Cowboys and the Colts, and we're so excited tonight because we have Dallas Cowboy great that's going to be joining us here in Hour 2, and that is Cliff Harris. But I think the immediate question that comes to my mind, Shay, when I talk about the Cowboys is, are they legitimate? Are they Super Bowl contenders? I mean, what's going on? They've won five games in a row. You talk about Amari and just the impact that he has had, the big shift.
I'm not sure quite yet, but I do think their defense is legit. It's a top five defense. The offense is getting better. There's still some concerns, but this is a big test for them. And if they can continue to win and play well, you know, you will have to start taking them seriously.
Much more coming up in Hour 2 at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Our NFL and college football news and notes will continue after this break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. The matchups for the college football playoffs, they are finally set. And we're going to take time for a preview tonight. Alabama, Oklahoma, Notre Dame is going to square off against Clemson. Delighted to open up our mic here in studio, kicking it with the Big E on a Friday night. He's not out hanging with his buddies. He's hanging with the Big E, and that is our producer, Shay Raftus. Hi, Shay.
Hey, Big E. How you doing?
Of course, when we talk about Alabama and Oklahoma, this is college football's perhaps most two-storied programs. You've got a dream matchup with quarterbacks. What do you think are going to be the particular keys in this?
Well, for this game, there are a couple things I look at. First off, you know, the health of Tua. And he was not very good in that Georgia game. And part of that is he was just banged up and he had to end up leaving that game. Jalen Hurts leads a comeback. We all know what happened. But if he's not healthy, now I think people are going to be like, oh, the drop off, Jalen's still a good quarterback. I think the drop off is much bigger from Tua to Jalen than people think. And especially in this type of matchup where, you know, it's not an SEC game where you can grind it out. This is Oklahoma is going to put up points on you, and they are going to move the ball on you. I mean, Georgia moved the ball in Alabama. Oklahoma's going to move the ball in Alabama. So if Jalen has to play, I'm not 100% Alabama could keep up with them. Now, if Tua plays, that changes the dynamic. But I think, you know, we're assuming Tua is going to play at this point, but now there's rumblings that he may not be 100% healthy and he's iffy. So that's the number one question for me. Number two, can Oklahoma's defense do anything? Because we know how great their offense is, and they're going to score points. But here's the problem. Alabama still has a good defense, a really, really, really good defense. Oklahoma does not play any defense, and it's gotten worse, honestly, since Stoops left, or Stoops got fired. So they're going to have to create some negative plays. They're going to have to be much better, do something. They have to get more than just a stop or two. Like, one of the reasons Georgia almost beat Alabama was because they were, and why Tua struggled, they got pressure on him. They were able to pressure with a four-man front. I'm not sure Oklahoma could do that. They have not proven they can get pressure on the quarterback. They have no pass rush. So they're going to – Ruffin McNeil's really going to have his work cut out for him because he's going to have to do something to flip this game.
Well, you know, over this past couple of weeks that they have really been, tightening the screws and focusing very much on their defense because they've got to have just an outstanding – the best performance of the season in order to come away with a win from against Alabama. And I guess I want to ask you tonight, of course, we were talking about this in hour one. Kyler Murray, he wins Oklahoma's seventh Heisman Trophy. You know, what kind of defenses has he faced this year? Anything to the caliber of Alabama? How do you anticipate that he's going to go against an Alabama, the Crimson Tide's D?
Oh, no, he hasn't. I mean, Texas and TCU have okay defenses, but even then, they don't have the talent that Alabama does. And the athletes on the perimeter and up and the type of defensive front Alabama has. So I think it's definitely going to be a challenge. It could be a step up. And that's another subplot that, I didn't think of immediately, but it's definitely something you have to take in mind. This is by far the best defense Oklahoma has played all season. And, will that make Kyler uncomfortable? Suddenly, are those windows not there? We'll see. But that is also an interesting factor. And, yeah, he's going to have to play his best game of the year. I mean, Kyler's been incredible all year. He's carried this Oklahoma team, and he's a rightful winner of the Heisman uh-huh. Trophy when you consider all things to me. But he's going to have to take it to another level to me because, this is by far, like we said, best defense he's played. And, it's not going to come as easy as it does in the Big 12.
I think the keys for Oklahoma is they are going to have a big-time performance from Kyler, probably perhaps his best of the season. He's got the ability to make the pass, the run, and he's got the skill set. But he's going to have help, and a lot of the folks are going to have to step up in order for them to come away with a win.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking for. He's got to have to play well. And then that defense, they have to be better. There's no way they're not going to give up 30 here. But if they can give up 30 instead of 40, they can create some negative plays. That can flip the game. Turnovers, that's another key thing. Because they have a much, much worse defense. If they can somehow force some turnovers, that's going to give Kyler more opportunities. And it negates more opportunities for Alabama. So I think that's going to be a key. But I think Alabama, you have to question them. Even if Tua is going to be 100% or close to 100% in plays, is he going to be fully healthy, and can they keep up with Oklahoma's offense? Because on the flip side, this is by far the best offense Alabama has played. It's not even close. So, you could say the same thing for Alabama in that sense on both sides. So both teams have questions to answer. So to me, like I said, the number one factor is if Tua is healthy, I think Oklahoma's going to have a real hard time stopping Alabama. Whereas if he's not, and if he's either for some reason doesn't play, I don't envision that happening. Or if he's just not 100%, I think Oklahoma can win this game in a track meet.
Hey, the college football season, the bowl games that kicks off tomorrow, hard to believe, and the countdown's on for the national championship game. Of course, we're talking about the Final Four and Alabama, Oklahoma. Shea Raftus with us. He just highlighted some of the keys, the important matchups, and the X factor in that particular game. But let's talk about the Cotton Bowl, the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic between Clemson and Notre Dame. How do you see this playing out?
All right, so I talked about this past game, and even I'm still kind of up in the air on who I'm going to pick in that Oklahoma-Alabama game. Kind of funny. I'm still leaning towards Alabama. I'm just really, really worried about that health of Tua, but I could see the Oklahoma pulling an upset in that game, even though I'm not ready to quite pick that yet. I think it's close, but I'm leaning Alabama right now, but I'm not quite 100%. I really have to wait until we get more of an update on Tua and see how he progresses. This game, I am 100% certain. And sorry, Notre Dame fans, you're not going to be happy. I think Clemson is going to roll in this game. I think Notre Dame has had a really good season. Oh. I think Brian Kelly has done and this is not on when they do get rolled, and I think they're going to get blown out. Right. This is not going to be on Brian Kelly. I think he has elevated Notre Dame they have exceeded expectations. They took advantage of a schedule that looked daunting. On paper, you see Florida State. You see USC. You see Michigan, you see Stanford, you see Virginia Tech. Wow, that's a tough schedule. But a lot of those teams, really outside of Michigan, had down years. I mean, Florida State was terrible. USC, what were they, 5-7? So they caught some breaks. The schedule that looked daunting was not daunting. They don't play in a conference championship game. So, you know, they credit to them for winning all the games, but they did catch some breaks with that. They've elevated their offense to as much as they can with Ian Book. The defense is, you know, very, very sound. They, again, for the second straight year. But I just think Clemson athletically is on a different level. I think they have better skill players on the perimeter there, and they're a little bit faster on defense. And I think you're going to see a big speed difference in this game. It is a huge step up. Notre Dame has been able to maul people with their offensive line and dominate their opponents because pretty much all these games they've had more talent. I don't think they're going to be able to do that in this game. I think Clemson's defensive front is going to dominate this game, and I think Clemson's perimeter players with Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne in the running game are going to show a big, big speed advantage for Clemson in this game. So, look, I will eat some crow if I'm wrong.
Uh-huh.
I think Notre Dame's done a good job. To me, I think they deserve to be in this playoff, but if you're telling me who are the four best teams regardless of record, I don't think they are. I think they've overachieved. I think Clemson rules.
Okay, if it comes down to Alabama and Clemson, how do you see that playing out?
So that's my lean right now, although, again, would not be surprised to see Oklahoma pull the upset. This is going to sound crazy. I think I like Clemson to win the national title at this point.
Oh, wow.
Look, you can question. Now, to be fair to them, we criticize Notre Dame's schedule. And we criticize, you know, Oklahoma's the defenses they played in the Big 12. The ACC is weak. It is probably the weakest conference in the country. I mean, that or the Pac-12 are the two weakest Power 5 conferences. So they have benefited from a very, very light schedule. But they dominated pretty much the whole season. And to me, they are the most complete team. They have the best defensive front in college football. All those guys are going to be high NFL draft picks. You're talking about Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, Cleveland Farrell, Austin Bryan, just studs up front. They have balance with Travis Etienne and the freshman Trevor Lawrence, who has grown tremendously and continues to get better and better. And they win games up front, too. Their offensive line doesn't get talked about, but another year, that offensive line has consistently been good. I think Clemson is the most complete team in the country. I think they win, and I think if they do play Alabama, the one thing Georgia did well that game was they made Tua uncomfortable with pressure up front.
Right.
I think Clemson will do the same thing and more, and that's why I like them at this point in the hypothetical matchup with Alabama.
Okay, Clemson, Notre Dame, Alabama, Oklahoma. As we close out tonight's interview with Shea Raftus, our producer at SB Nation, give us a hit on Ohio State. How do you think they're going to do in their bowl game?
I think they're going to roll. I think they're going to be motivated because of Urban. Turn a new leaf with Ryan Day. Look, I think Washington's a good team, but Ohio State's just better. I expect them to win by at least double digits.
Okay, looking forward to Saturday. That's right. Tomorrow, the college football season, it kicks off. And it's always a true pleasure to have with us hanging out on this Friday night, and that is our producer, Shea Raftus at SB Nation. Much more coming your way after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Happy holidays. Welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. Always got to take time to pause and recognize the folks that power all of us at SB Nation. And that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Well, before we went to commercial break, we said we are very fired up about our next segment because we are going to go inside the huddle. We're going to talk some NFL and about the Dallas Cowboys. They are first in the NFC East, and it has been just an incredible season, and super excited to highlight them in our next segment. Of course, we're going to preview Cowboys Colts. Looking forward to that, and it's a true pleasure to welcome back. That is six-time Pro Bowler. During his tenure with the Dallas Cowboys, had a remarkable career. He played on five Super Bowl teams. He is our Captain Crash, and that is the great Cliff Harris. Cliff, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. We've missed you. How are you, Cliff?
Thank you, Alyssa. I'm doing just great. A lot of my buddies are beating up guys and see them limping around, but I'm doing well. Thank you. My business, well, we're good. Family's good. So I've been a blessed guy. So I'm happy.
That's great. Listen, I know you're happy.
Cowboys are doing well.
That's right. I was going to say, what a season it has been for Dallas. And did you think this is how it was going to play out? Because as I just mentioned, Cliff, I mean, they're first in the NFC East. And just kind of talk about, you know, what were your expectations coming into the 2018 season?
Well, you know, I like Dak, and I think he's a winner, and I think it's contagious in the team, and I know that they had that potential when in the very first season Zeke was running, and they had very simple plays for Dak, and I said, gosh, they're there, and you know, everybody was giving credit. Oh, the credits to the offensive line. They've got a really good blocking line. They've got them, you know, this or that. And all of a sudden, you know, and not enough credit to Dak Prescott. I think that he deserves a real – he's a winner, and he's going to win. And you combine him with Zeke and you get a simple game plan, and they – I was predicting that, you know, Zeke is going to tear it up. I mean, he's going to he is such an incredible athlete, and I can expect that he'll run. I mean, I'll make many yards in these next games because they're starting to figure out how to use them both.
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboy great Cliff Harris with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. It's interesting as you talk about the quarterback play with Dak and of course with Zeke, but. You know, let's talk about Amari Cooper because his impact, Cliff, has been huge. And he has been a key figure in the Cowboys' five-game win streak. And of course, was just named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week twice in a season. And that's the first time in the franchise history. It's huge.
That is just incredible. What a great trade. And a timely trade, too, to play in Indianapolis. So, and, you know, I've been watching him run his routes. My goodness gracious, he may be one of the best I've ever seen in running routes. And he's got such incredible speed and move. And you know, it just shows you what a little bit of out of balance will do, and then finally get somebody that can come in there and go for the long ball, and your team is more balanced. You have a more balanced threat at running and at passing, and you know, I think that we've got some weak spots, but man, Amari has just done such a great job, and he's and such a even-headed, even-keeled, seems like a really a class guy. I'm glad he's here in Dallas.
Well, you know, it's remarkable. If we just step back and we flip the calendar back, I mean, look at where the Cowboys were before they acquired Amari. They were 3-5, and so he has been a game changer. And I guess what I wanted to ask you tonight, Cliff, is what was your initial reaction when the Cooper trade went down? I mean, because a lot of folks thought, hey, this doesn't make sense. Why are they doing this? Why are they changing, you know, the entire direction of this franchise? But he's made the Cowboys a relevant team.
Well, I can tell you, Jerry Jones, you've got to credit Jerry.
Okay.
He's a risk taker, you know.
He is
a risk taker, giving away a number one draft pick. And, gosh, and, you know, Amari Cooper was not, you know, somebody that was, you know, on my screen that I said, well, who are we going to go get? I knew he was a good receiver. I didn't know that he was I knew he was potentially a great receiver, but he's really come alive. I think he fits perfectly into our system. You know, we've got good, but not we had good and great receivers, and they were injured, and you know, we had and Cole Beasley, you know, is such a great receiver on the, you know, Michael Gallup gets hurt, and so they had good short routes, but you know, you start to clamp down and not have any deep threats, there goes, you know, there goes Cole Beasley, because he's really quick and good at in short routes, but you need a deep threat to open up not only those short routes, but open up the running game and everything else. It keeps everybody on their toes back there in the defensive secondary. I've been there. I know what a really great pass receiver will do to your safeties and corners. They'll move back and open things up.
Cliff Harris with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show, Captain Crash. We know him well, Dallas Cowboy great. And I guess really, you know, as you step back, we shouldn't be surprised at just the impact that Amari Cooper has had. Because, you know, when you listen to head coach Jason Garrett, he said physically he just doesn't have any limitations, you know, with what he can do out there. He's got a great attitude. You were talking about how Amari's even keeled, but he's a very smart player.
Yeah, he really is. And And, you know, to come in to, it just defines that. Mm-hmm. I mean, to come into a brand new system and do what he's done as quickly as he had. He understands the system. Of course, you know, there's, and I don't know, I just can't figure out how he and Dak have mastered that timing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they were off a little bit early, and but I think that they figured it out. He knows how to get open in the zones, and boy, I would sure not want to be a corner out there covering that guy man to man. I can tell you, gotten really a lot of speed deep as well.
Okay, the Cowboys they will face the Colts this weekend. You know, when we talk about Amari, you know, Dak, are the Cowboys a Super Bowl contender? I mean, what kind of give us? What do you think? What's your gut tell you?
Well, I bet there weren't very many people that said they would consider them a Super Bowl contender at the first of this season, particularly in the very beginning of the season. You know, you know, it's kind of like I think back about it, Alyssa, and think about our, 75 many years ago Dallas Cowboy team that had a really good draft, young people filtered into that team.
Yeah.
It was kind of a transitional time. We started out bad and ended up in the Super Bowl and Super Bowl X playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we should have beaten them. We should have beaten them in both Super Bowls. But you know, you just don't know. You don't know the chemistry that comes along. And, you know, and the thing I think that has really come around a big way is that defense. I am so impressed with the defense, and you know, this Andrasch is just, boy, he is. I mean, after you lose Sean Lee, and boy, you're so discouraged, and you know, and all of a sudden Vandresh is coming along, and Jalen Smith, and man, and Jeff Heath, they're really coming along as a young team and feeling their oats, and I think they've got a shot. I really do. I think they've got a shot if they continue to progress the way they have, and they keep those plays simple for Dak, and because the longer watch this on TV and watch it and acknowledge it, the longer Dak sits at the line of scrimmage and checks off, the worse the play is. So the more changes and the ways the things that they pile on and try to make him read a defense instead of acting on instinct and ability, the worse the play will be. I like it. I like what they've been doing and keeping it simple. And for Dak and coming to the line in a hurry and snapping the ball, and of course Amari Cooper has opened it up for us. So who knows?
As we close out our interview, a highlight for all of us, and Cliff, we'll have you back early in 2019. Talk about the Cliff Harris Award, which is presented to the top defensive player in the country representing Division II, Division III, and NAIA schools. It's very special and close to your heart, Cliff.
Yes, it really is. It's trying to bring recognition to these small college players. I was from Wichita Baptist, a free agent in Wichita.
Oh, yeah.
Had that chance to play in 5 Super Bowls. So not many of these young players that come out of these small schools get a chance to have even a shot at the pros. What we're trying to do is bring awareness to these guys. And give an opportunity to make the NFL and become a star. We've got several players that have won the Cliff Harris Award that are playing. Pierre Desir, my first winners in the league and doing well. And I'm so happy with him and some others that are out there as well.
Absolutely. Hey, Dallas Cowboy legend Captain Crash, he was given the nickname for his hard hits, brutal defense, and reckless pursuit of ball carriers. Cliff Harris, thank you so much for joining us. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and we'll talk to you again real soon in 2019, okay?
All right, thank you. We'll pick the winner on Christmas Eve for the Cliff Harris Award.
Okay.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, it's Friday night. Welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and many different ways to connect with us tonight. Perhaps you have missed part of our program. You know what? We got you covered. We got you taken care of. Go to podcastarena.com, podcastarena.com. Our show is there. All of our show hosts. All of their programming is listed as well. And we love to hear from all of our listeners across the country. Info, eradiosports.com. And you can always send a tweet at eradiosports. We always got to take time to thank the folks that power all of us right here at SB Nation. And thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and they are known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices. Every day. Well, we are so excited. We're going to completely shift gears. We're going to get you ready for a big game that's going to be taking place in the month of December, the Pro Football Hall of Fame World Bowl presented by Zenith. And we are delighted to have with us, that is the director of football for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Rich McGinnis. He's been on the show before. We're super excited to have him back to talk about the program. Rich, let me share a little bit about his background. He is the founder of the U.S. Army All-American Bowl and Football University, among other iconic sports projects. And as I just mentioned, he has created and developed the Pro Football Hall of Fame World Bowl presented by Zenith, and it's going to be played at Azul Stadium in Mexico City on December 22nd. And guess what? The game airs on December 27th on CBS Sports Network. Rich, good to have you back on the program.
Oh, great to be here. Thanks so much for making the time.
Okay, well, I'm always fired up about high school players and elite high school football players from all around the world will be invited and have been invited to compete in a bowl game hosted by the Pro Football Hall of Fame Academy. This is so cool. Talk about the inspiration and how this all came together.
Yeah, well, you know, we've been working on this for a few months and excited to create what we think is the first ever global high school All-Star Bowl. And not that there hasn't been some events out there that have featured American high school kids, but typically not the 4 and 5 stars that you see, you know, postseason on national TV at some of the previous All-Star games. But long story short, you know, we've been traveling the world under the Hall of Fame banner. Love that the NFL has opened up a lot of doors through a lot of their NFL games and have seen the energy from Europe, which we've been to, we were there a few weeks ago, Mexico, where we've now been once or twice, and Asia, we're going to India in January. But we've seen the energy and the excitement about football, and we were sitting at a field in Mexico City in the spring. We had 500 Mexican great football players that were training with us with our NFL coaches and Rod Woodson. And we were kind of ready to produce a game in the traditional, you know, warm weather states of the United States, Hawaii and a few others. We said, listen, you've got 25 million people in Mexico City. You've got 250,000 youth football players. It's the second biggest NFL market, and they are just crazy about American football. So we said, why not start here and follow the NFL's lead and give the world something to watch? And they'll be watching tomorrow's great college stars from Alabama and Clemson and Notre Dame and a bunch of other great colleges. And we're excited to get it going.
You know, it was about a month ago we had Pro Football Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz was on our program. And one of the reasons we extended the invitation is we were just talking about, you know, Rich, how important it is to bring football to an international stage. The NBA certainly on a professional level has had a lot of success with that. And here, love, you know, just the expansion in terms of with elite high school players from the opportunity to connect and to play and compete against each other. That's very important.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's the showcase side of the game when you get all these great 4 and 5 star athletes competing, and you know you'll see them on the stages of college football, you know, as early as next year, and you get one more shot or an early shot to see what they look like. So for the millions of college football fans, they can check out CBS Sports Network and watch this game. But I'll just go back and share you know, one really interesting historical note is All-Star games have been evolving. You know, I started that U.S. Army game almost 20 years ago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And ultimately, it was, you know, at the time around 2000 where the recruiting online world was taking shape, right? So you had the first ever National High School All-Star Game. You had the digital recruiting world, right? And they kind of came together to really create what we now call the recruiting world. And then one more thing happened, and that was Chris Leak, who was the number one quarterback back then in the country, asked if he can announce his college at halftime. So he put on a University of Florida hat, and the rest is history. The world started, you know, putting on college caps to show, you know, where these players were going. And as you think about the World Bowl, right, the difference here is You know, one, it's a great showcase, but also the national signing day, you know, has now moved. The first signing day for the NCAA has now moved to December 19th. So it wasn't before the new year traditionally, and last year it moved up. So we said, what if we can combine signing day on December 19th with an all-star game December 22nd and have virtually a lot of the same athletes both announce their college on signing day with us live, and we'll do that from Mexico City as well. We've got about 25 athletes going to be announcing their college lives in Mexico City. And then a few days later, you know, play on national TV before a global stage. So another nice development from the recruiting side of football and how it kind of helps support this platform.
Hey, glad you're with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, going one-on-one with the director of football for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That is Rich McGinnis. He's amazing. And, you know, one of the things I got to ask you tonight, Rich, is there are so many high school football all-star games, regional, national. You know, did it take a lot to convince the Pro Football Hall of Fame to want to go international with this on a prep level?
You know, all of about 5 seconds.
Okay. Okay, nice. Okay, you bet.
Yeah. I think the great ambition from Canton, Ohio is we're the most inspirational place in the world with a new $900 million sports complex emerging and underway here with fabulous fields and incredible attractions. And, you know, it's a global brand. So, you know, you've got NFL fans all over the world that really identify with the NFL and the Pro Football Hall of Fame and identify with all the great players, the 318 that have been inducted. So when you go to Europe or Mexico or wherever with a Hall of Famer, as we've done with Rod Woodson, it's incredible. So they love the global idea of it. We love the global idea of it. And I think it's a global brand that will prove its merit over time.
Well, and I think you touched on, too, you know, the NFL in recent years, they've really made a push into Mexico with games being played there in the preseason, the regular season. And so you think that's the next step, the crossover in terms of with high school football for games to take, you know, place and hold in Mexico?
I think it could. I think anything's possible. I think the world is open to more, and certainly football in America is working its way through, you know, its own issues as it's trying to kind of stabilize participation level and try to make the game as safe as possible. But I think it's a great game, and I think countries. We go to China every year, and two of our NFL coaches train a few hundred coaches in China. We know that China is trying to use American football to help their you know, young male workforce get ready for global competition. So we see same thing in Mexico that, you know, they're using the sport to prepare, you know, young people for life. And we think that's a great thing. And hopefully that's part of the development as well.
Okay. The director of football for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Rich McGinnis, with us, SB Nation. And let's take time. We got to pause and recognize your sponsors. And how important is it to have a brand like Zenith, not just on board, but actively engaged in the game and the growth of sport in Mexico? They're a game changer, aren't they?
They really are. They're a great brand and an emerging brand in the head to ankle to head space. And Ryan Sullivan, who's the CEO there, has been really leading a wonderful research and development drive to make football a better sport, more protective, more exciting. And they're on board as our presenting sponsor. And come early next week, they're going to be unveiling a brand new helmet that we think is going to be a game changer.
Oh, nice.
And we get a chance to use that for the first time with our top athletes. So it's part of another group, you know, kind of giant step here in our trajectory, and maybe a small step for football, but a giant step for Zenith and the Pro Football Hall of Fame, unveiling their ankle to head line of apparel. And certainly this new helmet has everybody excited about what it's going to look like. We got a glimpse of it yesterday as we announced this at
okay.
the press conference. So,
yeah.
So the world will see it in a few weeks, but they're a wonderful supporter, wonderful sponsor. They've always been, I think, the best helmet in the industry, and again, really committed to football and empowerment of the athlete.
Okay, the Pro Football Hall of Fame is going to host the World All-Star Bowl in Mexico City, and we got let's talk some X's and O's here. Some of the players, kind of share a little bit about in terms of the roster, because as you had mentioned, you know, it features a lot of 4-star, 5-star, talented players. What are some of the players that really fire you up? That get you excited?
Well, I want to start with, and there's a lot of really interesting stories, and everybody, as you know, has a great story about where they've been, where they come from.
Uh-huh.
But the number one player in the country, Kayvon Thibodeau,
okay.
is out of Southern California, defensive end, and you know, you probably see him in, you know, 3 to 4 years as the maybe overall number one NFL, you know, draft pick. But he's that crazy looking defensive end, you know, 6'5", 235, that is going to be a speed and edge rusher. He'll be, I'm sure, you know, tracking down a lot of these quarterbacks all game long, but he's coming down. We're excited about him. There's another McCaffrey coming. Know if you know, but the McCaffreys, I think at some point, will be dethroning the Mannings as the first family of football.
Wow.
But, yeah, but, you know, obviously Ed McCaffrey was the really great NFL player, and he's got a son now that is also a quarterback, and he'll be there as well as one of the six quarterbacks, you know, in the World Bowl. And, you know, we look forward to, you know, seeing a lot of these, you know, athletes that we've heard a lot about, and we've had some of them here in Canton, Ohio train, but we'll get a chance to see, you know, what they look like. Yesterday we announced one of the great defensive linemen, Juwan Briggs. He's out of Cincinnati, has that real thick frame and plugs up the middle. Looks like he's going to University of Virginia. So, you know, again, a lot of great playmakers. I would say the quarterback grouping is going to be really impressive. And we look forward to a lot of offense and a lot of playmaking on the outside.
Hey, we're all about offense. The director of football for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, that is Rich McGinnis, is with us tonight. We are shining the spotlight on the big game that's going to be coming up December 27th on CBS Sports, the World All-Star Bowl game in Mexico City. Just talking about the four-star, the five-star talented players. So many of these players committed to programs like Clemson, Alabama, Texas A&M, and Nebraska. Got any Oklahoma Sooners? Are they going to be playing in this?
You know, I think we may have a few.
Okay, but, Boomer.
unclear yet, but okay. I think on Sunday, hopefully you'll be surprised.
Okay.
We'll keep our fingers crossed for you.
Okay, nice. Hey, Rich, tell me as far as, you know, you're the creator of the U.S. Army All-American Bowl game. How does this game, on an international stage, being held in a different country, does it change the dynamic of the bowl? How is it different?
Yeah, you know, so I started that game, again, almost 20 years ago and sold my interest about 3 years ago, and it was really a wonderful ride with the U.S. Army building the first ever national all-star game. The Under Armour game came along shortly thereafter and was the other, you know, big game out there. But I think the difference here is that at that game, you know, you would feature the very best players. And somewhere along those 3 hours of football, you'd have a lot of college announcements, you know, throughout the telecast. And what we're doing in Mexico City is really pulling the two concepts apart. Signing day is really on one day, and the game is a few days later, so we don't have to rush a college announcement by an athlete who might have been thinking about Oklahoma, for example, for the last 3 years. You don't got to rush him into a into a 30-second you know, commercial about where he's going. The players that will be announcing at signing day in Mexico City will walk a red carpet. They'll be able to walk up almost NFL draft style, you know, to a podium and put on either a cap or announce their college, and then they'll have a sit-down with Rod Woodson and James Lofton, two Hall of Famers that will get into their decision. Yeah, so it'll be really great. And again, we're not rushing it. I think in the end we want to give the moment it's due, and we know it's a big decision by these athletes. We know it's a big decision that'll affect, you know, Alabama fans or Clemson fans. So we're going to take our time with it, really have some fun with it, and pull those two concepts apart. But I think the third thing would be, you know, the idea that, you know, we want to go impact a really great city, you know, in Mexico. You know, Mexico City, again, has a huge NFL following, 250,000, youth, you know, football players. So we're there to, you know, inspire. We'll run a free event for, you know, youth Mexican kids. We'll run a free coaching clinic and, you know, try to move the needle on growing the game in a really cool spot in the world.
We are inside the huddle with Rich McGinnis, the director of football for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and we will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin Rich McGinnis, the director of football for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, we've talked so much about some of the athletes that will be participating. Who will be the coaches in this game?
So we've got a bunch of international coaches that are featured by a bunch of NFL legends. So you've got, you know, Rod Woodson will be one of the coaches. You've got a list of other kind of, I say, legendary guys like Torrey Holt, London Fletcher, you know, TJ Houshmandzadeh. You know, you've got those guys coming in to hang out with the players and coach them up over the weekend. You got another Hall of Famer named Will Shields that was inducted a few years ago, and he'll be down there working with the offensive linemen. So you've got some really great legendary guys, and then we've got some new coaches that have done really well in Europe and Mexico that'll be supporting the coaching staff as well. So it's really an international blend of coaches with some NFL legends right there in the middle of it.
Hey, we've been shining the spotlight on the game that's coming up December 27th on CBS Sports, presented by Zenith. That is the World All-Star Bowl, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Rich McGinnis joining us. He's the director of football for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And, Rich, go ahead and connect with our audience. Where can they find out more about this and make sure that they mark their calendar?
Yeah, so CBS Sports Network at 7 p.m. on December 27th will be the telecast. It's taped late, so we're going to play the game actually on December 22nd. But the game airs on CBS Sports Network on December 27th. And then signing day will be on CBS Sports Network as well.
Oh, yeah.
We start early in the morning, 8 to 11, and that'll be coming to you live East Coast time from Mexico with about 25 athletes committed to announcing their college that morning and signing their letter of intent. So it'll be a whole lot of fun. Again, I really appreciate you talking football. It's not over yet. You know,
that's right.
Season is closed, but the All-Star world is just heating up. So,
hey, it is the most wonderful time of the year. It's such a true pleasure to have with us tonight Rich McGinnis, the director of football for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's right. Mark it down. The game airs December 27th on CBS Sports Network. Rich, happy holidays, and we look forward to another conversation in 2019. Continued success, my friend.
You too. Thanks so much.
That, of course, was Rich McGinnis, the director of football for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, as we were taking time tonight to highlight the World All-Star Bowl game that will be taking place in Mexico City. Of course, that game is going to air December 27th on CBS Sports Network and is being presented by Zenith. A big thank you to all of our amazing guests and our lineup, and we'll see you in 2 weeks for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. And join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. Don't drink and drive.